Good morning and welcome. We're going to be looking at the 19th chapter of the book of Luke. But we're also going to be connecting that back to the things that we have been studying previously here in Luke. Beginning in these first 10 verses here in this 19th chapter of Luke, there is an interesting story. As you've read it before, I'm sure, about Zacchaeus, you may not have thought about its connection to some other things that Luke has written previous to this. That's what I want us to talk about this morning. Very grateful that you're here, that you have an interest in spiritual things, and even though the weather may not be quite like what we would prefer it to be, it's still a great day to come together and to worship the great God of heaven. Appreciate you being here. We have been studying the nature of the kingdom of God here in this section in the book of Luke. And in this story, we're going to learn about an individual that gives us some more insight into who can be in the kingdom of heaven. Beginning here in Luke 19, he entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was rich. He was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. Now, I want you to focus your attention on this story for just a moment. This is very important in our understanding of this section of the book of Luke. Luke has been giving us consideration, insight into a couple of questions that individuals need to answer. First of all, who is in the kingdom of God? And secondly, who is going to inherit eternal life? Obviously, these are extremely important questions. In order to answer that, Luke has put four stories together here. First of all, he wants to make a point to Theophilus. As you remember, Luke is writing to Theophilus about these things. Secondly, of course, those who would read this letter at a later date are going to need to know why these things are here. He wants to drive into our hearts how the people that you would not expect are in the kingdom, and while those who would expect to be in the kingdom will not be able to enter. In the use of these stories that we've just been looking at here in the book of Luke, these are the questions that Luke is helping to answer for us. The first one, you remember, was the parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee. The Pharisee and the publican went down to the temple to pray. You remember Luke 18? One of them was very proud of all of the things that he had done. He'd kept the law. He was proud of the fact that he was not like these other folks are, especially like that publican that was over there. But when you hear the publican offering his prayer unto God, what do you hear? "God be merciful unto me, a sinner." That other story that we notice is about the rich young ruler. Here was a young man who came to Jesus and said, "I've kept all of this. What more do I lack?" Then there was the story of the blind beggar. Here was the man who was by the side of the road as Jesus was passing by. He heard from the crowds who this was. He cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And then you have Zacchaeus, the tax collector that we want to talk about this morning. What we're doing is seeing how Luke has put this together for us so that we can understand who's going to be in the kingdom and who's not. There are those who think they're going to be in the kingdom, who believe that they're going to be in the kingdom, but they're not going to be there, as Jesus has illustrated. There are others who do not think, and yet they have the hope, and they realize what a predicament they're in, and so they cry out to God for mercy. The final surprising story here is about Zacchaeus, and it's the last story that Luke uses to teach about who is in the kingdom of God. Now, the name Zacchaeus means pure or righteous. But this supervisor of tax collectors wasn't living up to his name, was he? As you go through this, I want you to think about some things. I want you to think about, what is Luke trying to get across here? What does Luke want us to think about this man, Zacchaeus, this tax collector? Also, be thinking about how the crowd feels with regard to Zacchaeus, because this is a very significant point likewise. And I want you to think about what you're going to learn from this story. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, as we just read, and he is passing through the city of Jericho. And as he does that, there's a crowd that gathers, and they're following Jesus on this journey. But there's this man, Zacchaeus. He is short of stature, but he is a chief tax collector, and he is rich. And as we've noted through our studies here in the gospel, the tax collectors, the publicans, in other words, were despised by the Jews. They were not appreciated whatsoever. They were considered traitors to the Jewish nation. They were also very greedy individuals, and they charged far more than the Roman Empire would have gotten from the people as the fair share of amount of taxes. And as a result of that, we would say, I guess they lived in the lap of luxury based upon what they were able to extort from these individuals there. As we consider this individual, this supervisor of tax collectors, we're noticing something about this man. We're noticing how he feels toward Jesus at this moment. He wants to see Jesus. He's short of stature. He can't see him. He can't get up there to the front of the crowd, so he just climbs a tree. As we said, these publicans were notorious for collecting more taxes than was required. That is, at least required by the government. And from the money that they collected, they enjoyed a lifestyle far better than so many of those other individuals around them. But though Zacchaeus is a renegade in the eyes of these Jews, he is a precious soul that needs salvation in the eyes of Jesus. And so you'll notice Jesus' words to him. He said, "I must stay at your house today." Now that's an interesting statement. There's a way that Luke wants us to think about Zacchaeus, isn't there? The way that these Jews thought about tax collectors of that day. Now, he is a tax collector, but he's a chief tax collector. So that makes him a very important individual over others. He's rich, and there's no doubt in the minds of these Jewish people about the question of his methods, his business practices, in other words, in collecting these taxes. But you'll notice he's seeking to see Jesus. As Jesus came to where Zacchaeus was, he looked up into the tree and he said something amazing to him. He said, "Zacchaeus, hurry. Hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." Now there's another part that plays into this as you read here in chapter 19. In verse 6, he hurried and he came down and received him gladly. Now notice verse 7 in particular. "And when they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, 'He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner.'" This is what they grumbled. "He has gone to be a guest of a man who's a sinner." We see what Zacchaeus thought about Jesus. We see what Jesus thinks about Zacchaeus. We also see what the crowd thinks about the action that Zacchaeus takes. Just as Jesus had a divine appointment with the woman at the well in Samaria, you remember our studies in John 4? So Jesus has a divine appointment with this wealthy chief tax collector. This is the day that he chose to take advantage of that appointment. Now there are three things that Luke wants us to see in the response of this chief tax collector that reveals that salvation belongs to this man. As I had asked you a moment ago, these people are grumbling, but what did Jesus say? I must stay at your house. Now there are three things, as I said, that Luke wants us to see. First of all, notice the attitude of Zacchaeus. He wants to see Jesus. He desires strongly to see Jesus, strongly enough that he's willing to climb this tree in order to just catch sight of Jesus. He is a man who is looking forward to what Jesus, or who Jesus is. First of all, he receives Jesus gladly. He's overjoyed by the fact that he has finally gotten to see Jesus. And in fact, now Jesus has come up and said, come on down. I must go to your house today. As this happens, he hurried and he came down and he received him joyfully. Now that presents a question for us. How would you feel if Jesus said this to you? When you open your Bible, isn't that what Jesus is saying to you? How do you feel about that? If Jesus said to you, I'm going to your house today, you mean you'd come to my house? You'd spend time with me? Would you be overjoyed like Zacchaeus is overjoyed here? Would you be excited, thrilled, happy? Or would you say, man, you can't come today. I didn't get the house cleaned. Besides that, I've got plans. I was going to go play golf today. Just what would you think about a situation like that? We know what the crowd thought. They grumbled, well, he's going to be the guest of a man who's a sinner. They know exactly who the sinners are and who are going to be in the kingdom, don't they? Well, surprise, surprise, Jesus has another story on that. And that's what he's been trying to get across to these individuals. They don't really know that they are in the kingdom or that they're going to be in the kingdom because they are not. What would be your complaint? What kind of grumbling would you make? Or would you be like Zacchaeus? Luke puts these stories in here in order to teach us some lessons, doesn't he? But the most of the time when we read the story, we don't really apply it to ourselves. Luke begins to draw some contrast here between these individuals that we just mentioned. You remember the four that we said in the beginning? Now, as he does that, he starts talking about, or rather Jesus wants this young man to come, or to come rather and stay with this young man. But what we need to think about is to think back over what Luke has been telling us. There is a contrast that's drawn here between the rich young ruler and Zacchaeus. The rich young ruler was concerned only with doing the minimum. We're going to see something different from Zacchaeus. When you look at him, he wants to know Jesus. He wants to spend time with Jesus. His attitude is, I want to see him now. Happy that he has the opportunity. Wants to take advantage of the opportunity. Not so much like so many today who would say, well, I don't have time for that. There's another contrast here. There's a difference in the two attitudes that are involved. When the rich young ruler came to Jesus, he said, What do I lack? I've kept all of these things from my youth up. What do I still lack? But it's not a question of what do I have to do. So many people today are looking for what do I have to do? The minimal amount of works, in other words, in order to be pleasing in the Lord's sight. In order to just kind of squeeze by, you know, and finally make it through the pearly gates, as we say. That's not the attitude you see. Do I have to attend every time the doors open? How many times do we hear people remark that? Where's their interest? It's not in studying God's Word. They don't really want to be here. They're just coming so they can do what? They can get their ticket punched. They were there that day. Or they can get the stamp on their hand like they went to Six Flags. Do I really have to study? I go to be taught. Those people aren't really teaching me anything. What about active participation? That's how we learn, isn't it? We fail to see the value of local congregations and assembling together in order to study and to help one another grow spiritually. It ought to be that every time we have an opportunity to do something like that, that's what we're looking forward to. Sad to say, that's not always the case. Well, again, how do you feel about Jesus coming into your life? It is rather a question of how can I see Jesus? How can I meet Jesus? This is what it's really all about. How can I come to know Jesus? How can I come to spend time with Jesus? The attitude that is seeking Jesus is the attitude that finds salvation. Now, what about you? Is that something that you're really doing? When we look at the difference in these two attitudes, we can see why Luke chose Zacchaeus on this occasion. The second major point about Zacchaeus is, I want you to notice the new heart that's developed in Zacchaeus. The kind of heart that leads to the generosity that Zacchaeus is about to demonstrate in these verses that we read. Now, while all of these people are complaining about Jesus going into the home of this hated and despised tax collector, chief of tax collectors, if you will, Zacchaeus wants to reveal to the people his dramatic change of heart. That's what he's interested in. He does not try to defend himself by relying upon his works. You'll notice he doesn't offer any justification to himself whatsoever. These others that we mentioned are trying to justify themselves before God. Zacchaeus doesn't do that. He doesn't try to defend himself by relying upon his works, like that rich young ruler did. This would violate what we've seen in these last chapters. What's Luke trying to show us again here? That's what we have to be keying on. He's not defending himself as righteous in the face of the crowd here. Zacchaeus is doing none of that. Rather, he is resolving on the spot to act differently because Jesus is accepting him. That's why he's so happy. And Zacchaeus is willing to change everything in his life. He's going to give half of his goods to the poor. You think about what's happening here. Luke draws this second contrast between Zacchaeus and that rich young ruler. The ruler was unwilling to give up his goods to follow Jesus. Not so with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is also very rich, but rather than respond like the ruler, what does he do? He addresses the charges against him by a demonstration of this radical life transformation. Now, that brings us to the third point here. Zacchaeus is repentance. What did he say? In verse 8, Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." How many times do you hear that from people today when they're caught in the criminal system? Do you ever hear people talking about restoring what they took? I think it's a huge fault of our system today that people are not forced to restore, to give back all of the things that they've taken. These guys can steal billions of dollars and then they put them up in a mansion. with an ankle bracelet. So what? That didn't do anything. What kind of punishment is that? Look at what this man said. Under the law of Moses, the law of restitution was to return what was defrauded plus 20%. 20%, Leviticus 5 and verse 16. Zacchaeus has experienced the kind of transformation. How much is he going to give? 400%. He does not want anything to interfere with this opportunity that he has to be with Jesus. This is the heart of repentance that Jesus is looking for. In order for him to grant salvation, this is the kind of disposition of heart that an individual has to have. Repentance desires to right the previous wrongs whenever possible. Now, I've encountered people, and I'm sure that you have too, who simply do not understand what it means to repent. They have no earthly idea what repentance is. We teach our little kids, you tell him you're sorry. He goes up and he says, sorry. Is that repentance? Have we taught him anything about repentance? That's kind of like people do today. They say, sorry. But what they expect is for that person to just get over it so they can go on. That's what they're expecting. Saying sorry is not repentance. We see an excellent example here of repentance in Zacchaeus. He wants to right the wrong that he's committed in a very generous way. This man who's become rich by swindling and extorting others has made a very dramatic change in his life. He wants to restore fourfold. He wants to right that wrong, as I said, in a very generous way. Now he will give his possessions to the poor. He will make restitution to anyone that he's defrauded. What about that rich young ruler? When he said, what do I lack yet? What did the Lord say? Go and sell what you have and give it to the poor and come and have treasure in heaven. Follow me. What did he do? He went away sorrowfully, didn't he? Because he had great possessions. Is that Zacchaeus? No. Zacchaeus is the opposite of that. He's the example of what the Lord wants when it comes to the matter of repentance. You'll notice he doesn't have to be told to do this. He doesn't ask Jesus if he has to give up his possessions. His heart is so changed by the invitation of Jesus that he's moved by his heart to act. This is what we see in this man. He doesn't need to ask Jesus if he has to give up his possessions. He doesn't need to ask him if he is supposed to right his previous wrongs. That's what this is all about. It's not about finding the minimum requirements here. He understood that. It is a desire to correct one's own mistakes, to make right the sins that one has committed whenever possible, all for the opportunity of spending time knowing Jesus. And when I talk about knowing Jesus, you probably figured out I mean more than just a passing acquaintance. I mean getting to know who Jesus is, really. Now, there's a very significant thing that comes up. You may remember it. Back in Luke 18 and verse 26, the question the disciples ask, who then can be saved? Think about what's going through the minds of these Jews at this time. Think about how they're considering this action that Zacchaeus is taking. What are Jesus' disciples thinking about this? We know what the crowd thinks. We know what the religious leaders of that day are thinking. What are you thinking? If they think back on these stories for just a few minutes, they're thinking that if the Pharisee who epitomizes righteousness cannot be saved, then who can be? Jesus' answer? The publican. God be merciful to me, a sinner, the person who realizes his predicament before God. If the rich young ruler who has kept the law from his youth up can't be saved, who can be? Answer, the blind beggar who saw his condition, recognized his need for mercy, and cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And now there's another example that answers this question. This rich tax collector, so reviled in the eyes of the people, Zacchaeus is the answer. He's telling us how this can be. Because Zacchaeus reveals the model response to Jesus' initiative. This vile, hated tax collector is receiving salvation. You remember what Jesus said about that publican who went down to the temple to pray? He said, this man went home justified, not the Pharisee. Zacchaeus reveals the model response to Jesus' initiative. He is the one who's receiving salvation today. Now, notice how Jesus ends the scene here. In 9 and 10, Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus is putting the climax on what he's saying to Zacchaeus and to these disciples here. This is an important declaration concerning Zacchaeus, because Luke is taking us back to the beginning of his gospel. Think about what he said in the beginning. You remember when John the Baptist came preaching? In Luke 3 and verse 8, he said, bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able of these stones to raise up children of Abraham, from Abraham. Now, what is he getting at? Well, there's a second instance. In Luke 13 and verse 16, you remember when Jesus healed that woman? He said, and ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Here we have a son of Abraham in Zacchaeus. We have that daughter of Abraham back in Luke 13. And we also understand what John the Baptist had said about what it means to be a true child of Abraham. And he's saying to the majority of those people that have come out to listen to him, you're not the children of Abraham at all, because the Lord's already chopping down this genealogical tree. So don't go saying, I've got Abraham as my father, because that just won't cut it anymore. You're going to have to understand, if God is your father, whom you claim to have, you also are going to have to accept Jesus Christ, because he's the one who came to seek and to save you. And if you're not willing to do that, accept that, then you've just missed out on the whole package. A person is a child of Abraham when they bear fruit in keeping with repentance. That's what the Lord's getting at here. The heart of repentance defines who are God's chosen and promised people and who are not. When he mentions this woman in Luke 13, and now when he mentions here in Luke 19, Zacchaeus, both of these are children of Abraham in the spiritual sense. Just like we need to become children of Abraham today, as we read in Galatians chapter 3. You're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And you're also recipients of the promise that he made to Abraham. In the spiritual sense, salvation has come to you. You can become children of God, children of Abraham in that sense. And that's what he's getting at with these two examples here in the book of Luke. A person is a child of Abraham when they bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And the heart of repentance defines who are God's chosen and promised people and who are not. So, when our heart is changed by the Lord, it shows. That's very obvious, isn't it, here from the life of Zacchaeus. Now this wraps up Luke's section on who is in the kingdom of God. He ends by showing us who is receiving salvation from the Lord. Those who receive Jesus gladly are the ones who receive salvation from the Lord. Now this should be obvious, and yet it needs to be said. If you don't want a partnership, if you don't want a relationship with Jesus, you don't have to have it. You don't have to get to know Jesus. You can just go right on the way that you're living right now. You can reject being a part of His kingdom. You don't have to have salvation at all. That's up to you. You must want to see Jesus. You must want to spend time with Him. You must want to learn who He is and what He can do for you. You must understand you can have a life that's hidden in God with Him. So, again, who is receiving salvation? Those whose hearts are changed by the message that He brings. Those who will give up everything to be with Jesus, like this man is willing to do. A relationship with Jesus, in other words, is a call to sacrifice our desires and our pursuits. And those who are receiving salvation are the ones who joyfully receive Jesus, accept being a disciple of Him. In other words, they count the cost and they're willing to pay it. They're willing to give up their pride, give up their wealth, give up whatever it takes because they understand they cannot serve two masters and they're not going to let the world master them anymore. They want to follow Christ. And they come to Him with thanksgiving and with joy, crying out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. This is their disposition towards God. Those who desire and actively seek to right those previous wrongs. When our heart is changed by the Lord, it shows. We're going to try to restore our relationship. We're going to try to make restitution for our sins. We'll have a radical change of life. We'll mold ourselves over in the image of Christ Jesus because of this offering of forgiveness that He has extended to each and every one of us. So what about you? What is your disposition towards God? If Jesus came to your house today, what would you do? What would you say? Are you ready? Would you accept Him? Would you be glad like Zacchaeus was glad? Would you be willing to do whatever the Lord asked you to do? Would you repent of your old way of life? Turn your heart back to the Lord and allow Him to be the one who is over all as concerns your life and your well-being. Hopefully, you'll recognize how important a relationship with Christ Jesus is. Would you be willing to be buried with Him in baptism? To rise to become this new creature in Christ Jesus? The one who has changed from all of that old way of living and continues to want to be the kind of person who will bring glory and honor unto God. We'd be happy to assist you this morning if that's what you wish to do while we stand and while we sing.